This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host, Paul Esposito. God bless you. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me. We're in a wonderful study here in the Word of God at the church, at Island Community Church, where I pastor. We're in a series we started, about a week or two ago, might run up until the end of the year, and that is a look in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? I love the King James says, end of the world. You hear that phrase, your ears prick up. More people have asked me that. Unbelievers have asked me. Everyone's curious about all the signs that are going on. Is the Lord coming back soon? People wonder, we wonder, you wonder, I do. What does the Bible have to say about this? We're starting this right here on the radio this week with the Lord's first answer to that question, and that is, take heed. Blepete, be careful, look out, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't let anyone trick you. Don't let anyone, one translation says, mislead you. You know, like a misleading label on a medicine bottle or misleading commercials. You know, on commercials now for medicine, they say, warning, this medicine could cause stroke, blindness, and even death. Why do they put that on there? Because they have to, so as not to mislead you. And this is what this is a look at here. Deception, past, present, and future. This is part two. This is going to play the rest of this week. I invite you to come out to Island Community Church as well. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We're going through here this coming week, Matthew chapter 24, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes is where we left off. We're going to continue all the way this coming week, up until verse 15, where Jesus says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, get out of Dodge. That's what we're looking at this week. In the meantime, let's get right back to this message here. See that no man deceive you.
No way she would have done that. She was deceived. See, she thought that something was something. And something, something was something else. Let me tell you. Look at what happened because of this. She didn't do it willing. God, listen. She didn't do it willingly. You know what I mean here. This was her own choice, but she had help. Satan's out here helping a whole bunch of other people too. All right, that's number one on this handout here. I've given you some space here of examples of deception. Number one on there was Eve. I've heard the story before. This is a true story, though, of a man walking down the sidewalk with his daughter. And as he's walking down the sidewalk, all of a sudden, he's holding her hand. And he's walking down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, a car approaches them and jumps the curb and starts going right for him. So he picks up his little girl, holds her up in the air. The car comes, creams the guy. Guy dies, the child lives. Now, years later, man's in jail. And he sees a Budweiser commercial on television where they're laughing, yucking it up, having a good old time. And then the man makes this comment. He says, "The serpent deceived me, and I drank." Drank. You see, he thought that something, drinking, was something, a good time, while something was actually something else, something that was going to take him out. See, that man was deceived. This is Jesus' warning. Be careful. See that no one deceives you. Next up, everyone's favorite whipping boy is Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter 27. Everyone knows what Judas did. But do you know Judas's reaction to what he did? Now put yourself there and put yourself in Judas's shoes. Now when the morning had come, the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Verse 3, then Judas, who had betrayed him, now catch these next three words. When he saw, you see, here comes Judas Iscariot's Budweiser moment. When he saw, you see, same as Eve, same as the drunk driver, same thing happened to Judas here. When he saw that he was condemned, Judas never thought this was going to happen to Jesus. Never. He was deceived. It says, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself, the word really means was remorseful, brought the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What's that to us? You see to it." So he cast down the silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. All right, now let's hold on for a minute. You've put yourself in Judas's shoes. This word here that's translated cast out, the Greek word is ripto. And it means exactly what you would expect. Being in Judas's shoes, Judas went into the temple, he took the money. The word means to hurl like Nolan Ryan. He went into the temple and he hurled the money in there, got on his knees and screamed out and said, "I've sinned." That was Judas's reaction. He didn't say, "I got what I wanted." He went into the temple, threw the money in there and cried out and said he had sinned. That was Judas's response. You see, Satan doesn't come to club you. Satan comes to deceive you. If he could club you, he would have clubbed you a long time ago. Either God's watching out for you, or aren't you one of Satan's pals? Which one you think it is? He can't club you, but he can deceive you. So what's the difference? When we examine the life of Judas here, I'm reminded of Peter's sin. Of denying the Son of God. So, what's the difference between what Peter did and Judas did? Just a little aside here for a minute. What's the difference? I mean, Peter committed a horrific sin, didn't he? I mean, Peter swore on a stack of Bibles, "I have never heard of Jesus Christ. That I don't advise you go do." The difference is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. It says this, Paul said, "I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, so that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces," there's that word again, like adding two chemicals together, hydrogen and oxygen, put it together, what do you got? Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted of. But the sorrow of this world produces death. This just screams Robin Williams to me. Godly sorrow. What did Peter do? Wept bitterly, right? Worldly sorrow. It's almost eerie. I don't even have Robin Williams written down here. It's almost eerie, the similarities. Do you see the similarities in the two deaths? You see what it is. You see, there's a point. Everyone has got a point. There's a point in people's lives when they cross over some self-ordained or self-appointed imaginary line, the point of no return. And that's what happened to Judas. That's what happened to Robin Williams as well, who I just read a story yesterday that said he had demons. Same as Jonathan Winters, his hero. I never knew that. I never knew that they struggle with a demon possession. So let me say this. There is nothing you have ever done that can't be confessed and repented of through godly sorrow. Nothing. Anyone here? There is nothing you have done that can't be repented of here today with godly sorrow. Don't let Satan ever deceive you into thinking it's too late or that you've committed the unpardonable sin. Because while we still live in this age of grace, there is still forgiveness and still repentance for no matter what you have done. Even denying Jesus Christ like Peter did. See, the time is coming where if you deny him again, there will be no repentance of that. Not today, though. You can still come up here to this altar today and repent of anything you've done and receive forgiveness for it. Right here and now today before you walk out these doors. Anything else is a lie designed to make you think that something is something. That you can't be forgiven of something. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. No matter what you've done, you can be forgiven of it. That is the truth of the Word of God. Anything else is a lie. See that no one deceives you. Now, so far, in both biblical examples, we've seen Satan directly involved, right? Luke 22:3, it says Satan went into Judas, that Satan possessed him. Next example. Now, I don't know where this fits in, but we've got the time, so let's lay it out. The next one to write down would be Solomon. Scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. Whereas the New King James has it, "Evil company corrupts good habits." Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. That's the wisest man who ever lived was Solomon. You know, by the way, do you know why smarts isn't good enough? Because smarts is weaker than flesh. I don't care how smart you are.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. So